I'm going to blame whatever cell network that Matthew Collar and Sloan Martin have. I'm just going to go ahead and blame them. I'm not going to blame us at all. I'm just going to go ahead and blame them. I'm going to put it all on them, and maybe we can talk to them about whatever cell company that they're dealing with right now. But just to be clear, we'll get a hold of Matthew here in just 1 second. Maybe he's available now. Is he available now?
We will find out.
All right, let's go ahead and let's see if we can dial up one. Matthew Collar. Matthew Collar, do you have us?
I got you, man. What's going on?
I'm just wondering what's going on with your phone, man. Did you pay the bill or not?
Oh, well, this is a AM radio issue, not a Matt's Verizon issue.
Really?
This was two different phones. We had some mistakes going on, but we're good. We're good now.
Okay, I'm just double-checking. Eitan Shander from iChopper.com was just joining us like 15 minutes ago and need to have any issues. So I was just kind of wondering if you were trying to shun us tonight on Friday
maybe
night.
I think we got to blame Philly. One more time, blame Philly.
Blame Philly, the Philly connection. They're trying to play or hate on the Purple Insider. It doesn't matter. We need to hear nor there. First off, I want to start with the obvious question. You've probably been asked this numerous times already, but now that the game is no longer in L.A., which it makes all the sense in the world because, the people in L.A. are going through, with so much, and, people can talk about, well, it'd be, give us some hope and we'll try to escape from the distraction that is the fires and all that stuff. No. Move the game to Arizona. It makes all the sense in the world. Now that both teams are playing in Arizona as opposed to L.A., how do you view the matchup? Does it alter in any way, shape, or form how you view these two teams matching up against each other? Because I don't.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, definitely want to say the NFL made the right decision, hands down, to move this. I mean,
100%.
Not only from a safety perspective, but also think about hotel rooms that people need who are trying to escape fires and first responders. There, if you haven't ever been to an NFL game, you don't realize how many people it takes to secure the outside of a stadium, the amount of police, and they have to have ambulances and things like that on hand, and you just can't take that stuff away from people who could be fighting fires. So that's number one. As far as how it impacts the Vikings, I don't think there's any argument about it. I mean, it's a positive thing for the Vikings. I think that as many Rams fans as they can get there, they're going to try to get there. And I saw today that a lot of the tickets were sold, but you also know that those tickets are going to get resold to a lot of Minnesota Vikings fans who either live in Arizona or who have decided now that they're going to try to help the Vikings there. I don't expect it to be the same level of atmosphere that it would have been. And I also think that the Vikings were already planning to get on a plane and fly somewhere and play a football game.
Yeah.
It's just a different stadium now. The Los Angeles Rams were planning on being at home and hanging out at home and practicing and everything else. Now they have to scramble, and you got their coaches and their players all with a lot on their minds as this is going on. So I think if you're the Rams, you view this as a pretty distinct disadvantage going into this game. I don't think that it really should be moving the line, maybe even as much as it was today, the Vegas line, but I still think that if you're trying to put together all the factors of the game, that's one of them for the Rams.
Yeah, no question. I agree with you 100%. Like, we're thinking of everybody out in California. My sister lives out there. I think Sloan has family out there, right?
Yep, that's correct. Her parents are out there. Luckily, they're in a safe place there where they live, but still the way that the winds are turning and things are changing really quickly, I think everybody in the city is concerned about different neighborhoods or, the embers that can fly quickly from one place to another and start fires. So it's really impacting everyone out there.
Yeah, and I'm with you. Like, there's no doubt in my mind, and I'm in total agreement with you, that I think that from the perspective of looking at who does it benefit? It clearly benefits the Minnesota Vikings. But how much does it benefit the Vikings? I guess ultimately is the question, because like you mentioned, I'm a little bit surprised that the line moved as significantly as it did.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think at least one tweet I saw was 1.5, which is kind of a lot. Yeah, I don't know, because it's not like SoFi Stadium was going to make a massive difference. I think we should give their fans more credit. because for a playoff game, I don't think the Vikings fans were going to, especially amid a natural disaster, be traveling out there in hordes the way they were for that Thursday night game, which people plan as soon as the schedule comes out as vacations and things like that. So I think it was going to be filled with Rams fans, and it will probably still be the majority Rams fans because they're giving out the tickets to them when they get there. But, you know, I think that both teams are probably shaken by it to some extent. I mean, it's something that's very different. And I also think that football players and coaches are remarkably resilient when it comes to blocking out the noise and things like that. I think that the Rams are a really good team and an experienced team with a great quarterback that is probably not going to be too distracted by this. So I personally, if they don't ever ask me about moving lines, nor should they, I probably wouldn't have moved it all that much. I think it's a very, very slight edge for the Vikings, but I don't think it's a huge one.
Matthew Collar, Purple Insider, joining us here on the Lake Show News Talk 830 WCCO. Did you alter your plans on getting out to – well, yeah, of course you did, because you're planning to go to L.A. and now you're going to Arizona. When are you getting out of here?
Yeah, I mean, I had to make the switch. Luckily, the internet made it very easy to change where my plane was headed on Sunday, and also the hotels and everything else. So, Vikings fans, if you're considering a last second go at it, you probably can. I actually think it wouldn't be that difficult to book it up. I mean, there's a lot of flights that go from Minneapolis to Phoenix, which is where I'm flying into. So. It wasn't too bad. You know, for us, it's the same sort of thing where it's like we're all traveling somewhere. We just got to figure out where and how we're getting there.
Hey, so let me ask you, well, first off, when I look at the LA Rams, I believe that the Vikings are the better team, but Matthew Stafford just scares the daylights out of me. He's that good.
Yeah, I think that what the Rams have is a few factors that sort of even the playing field. Even though the Vikings are a 14-win team and the Rams are a 10-win team, they have a quarterback who's been there, done that, and has won a Super Bowl, a quarterback who picked apart their defense earlier this year, a number one wide receiver who's probably better than any receiver the Vikings have faced all season long in Puka Nacua, who dominated them last time. And then on the defensive side, they have a very, very nasty front four, and those guys caused tons of problems, and they did for the Vikings the last time they played, and they'll probably cause some problems again. What it's going to come down to is can they block them up enough to get the ball downfield, because if they can, the Rams secondary is not all that impressive. They've got some okay, you know, guys back there. It's not like this is a bad team, but PFF had them as 23rd ranked team in coverage. So I think that tells you that they probably can't stop Jefferson, Addison. And remember, TJ Hockenson did not play in the last game, and neither did Blake Cashman. So the Vikings are actually quite a bit healthier going into this game than they were before. But there's the cheat code of having a great quarterback that if he gets hot, you know that Stafford can absolutely light it up. And the Vikings defense got to have more answers than just blitzing him, especially because he's so good at picking apart blitzes, hanging in the pocket. So it's kind of the matchup that the Vikings didn't necessarily want because they are really well coached. They have a great quarterback, and then they can also rush the passer.
What concerns you with regards to this this matchup? I guess negatively for the Minnesota Vikings.
I think probably number one is what we just saw most recently. I don't tend to think that the last game tells us everything about a team like we act like sometimes in the you know, shows on TV that yell at each other. The Vikings won 9 games in a row. They beat the Packers 2 weeks ago with Sam Darnold throwing for 377 yards. And we got to remember that football team exists, that last week was just a bad week. But – you know, that was the brightest lights of Sam Darnold's career, and he did not come through in that game. It certainly was not all his fault. And when I watched back, I thought, man, they didn't protect all that well. Jefferson had a couple of drops that never, ever happened to Jefferson, so I thought he was overly amped up as well. Maybe that will help them to have experienced that already and not had Sam Darnold have his kind of freak-out moment in the playoffs, but it definitely makes you wonder, like, is he ready for the stage here? Because he has not been in a big game like this since 2017 at USC. Probably Pac-12 championship was the last great big game that Sam Darnold had with serious stakes like this. So that is at the top of the list. The kicking, the pass protection, kind of some of the same things that we always end up talking about with the Vikings. But you know, I really was concerned about the way that they protected last week against Detroit. They got to Sam Darnold a lot, which I think the pass protection this year has been pretty good. But to have them melt in that moment was also something that I think is pretty worrisome.
Yeah. The Will Reichert stuff, what do you glean from the troubles that he's had here in the last few weeks?
Man, kickers are so hard to figure out. If anybody ever figures them out, they'd be a millionaire if you ever figured out how to predict kickers. Because at the beginning of the year, this guy looked flawless. He looked like the best kicker I've ever seen. And he certainly was through training camp and then about the first whatever number of weeks until he got injured. And since he's come back, he did hit, 58-yarder against Seattle in the rain out there. So it's not like there's nothing there with this guy. He had a 50-plus last week as well. It's just that he seems to have these moments that are not as sharp. I mean, missing his wide right as he did. The kickoff was really concerning to me. That ball's on a tee. Like, there's no world where you should kick it out of bounds if you're not trying to kick a squib there, which he was supposed to just kick it long. I think that there is something off with Will Reichert. I don't know if he came back too early or he's still in pain or what it is. They keep saying we believe in him and everything else because they have no other options, but I don't think that he's either at 100% physically or mentally.
Give me a prediction. What do you make of it?
I'm going 24-20 Vikings. I think it's going to be a slugfest, and it's not going to be pretty, but I think the Vikings ultimately are the better football team than the Rams.
Hey, seriously, man, safe travels this weekend, and we will look to talk to you later next week.
Thanks, Henry. Appreciate it.
All right, take care. That's Matthew Collar joining us here on the Lake Show, the Purple Insider himself.